So what I'm hearing is Yarhar Fiddly D, being a pirate, is all right to be. Do what you want, because a pirate is free. You are a parrot.
Yeah, you're a parrot.
You are a pirate.
I love the cacophony of it. It's fantastic. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sit Sock.
Sit Sock.
Kyle said something, but he's quiet.
I'm Kyle.
There you go.
I can talk loud the whole time if you want.
It's okay. I think I just have you turned down on my end. It's all right.
That's fine.
And Kevin.
Hey, Kevin's coming in loud and clear, by the way.
Yay.
He did that on the last episode. I didn't even have to boost him. So whatever you did last time, do that again.
Do it twice.
I went in the basement. The basement's the zone.
That's the key. Yeah. I'm sitting on my couch right now because my neck's hurting and I'm being a little bitch about it. But that way I can recline my head back. Sitting in my chair aggravates it for some reason. Nice. So
I'm Joe.
Do you know why your neck's hurting? Oh, hey, Joe. Nice to meet you.
No, I'm just old enough where I wake up sometimes and my neck hurts.
Dude, I've experienced something the other day that I would like to talk about for just a second.
Talk about it, bro.
An hemorrhoid?
No, I've had one of those, though. It's not super fun. I have an ingrown hair in my groin right now, though, an ingrown hair, and it's the most annoying thing ever. But
those are the worst. We'll
talk about that. We went to my parents for a few days right before the blizzard storm.
Snowball
coming. We were going to stay there for the weekend, but we didn't get to because of the, you know, terrible storm that we had.
Which apparently was the fourth worst blizzard in recorded Denver history.
Wow.
Yeah.
Benchmarks, baby. And I slept in a bed for 3 nights, and I was like, oh, man, like, I'm getting pretty good sleep down here. But the last night I slept there, I noticed my neck was just, like, dead. Like, I couldn't move it around. It was just, like, really, really sore. You know, kind of probably like yours is now.
I bet you're feeling what I was feeling. Yep.
I think it's just straight up that I switched pillows. Like, I've been using a memory foam pillow, and I switched away from it for 3 days, and that's enough.
I do think I need a new pillow
to just fuck my neck up, I guess.
Yeah, Laura and I accidentally switched pillows the other night, because we do a strange, and I think I've talked about this before. We alternate sides every now and again. If we have trouble switching sleeping, we'll just switch sides real quick.
That's an interesting idea,
and it works. Like, usually Laura will be like, I can't sleep at, like, 10:30, because she goes to bed at, like, 8, right? And she's like, I can't sleep. And I was like, switch sides. Go lay on the other side. And then she's fucking out. But there was one time we did that, and we forgot to trade pillows, and both of us woke up with, like, the worst sore necks that we had. It was like, why do we both hurt? And it was because we had the wrong pillows.
See, I've got Kate's old pillow, and it's done me okay, but I'm beginning to think maybe I need a better one or a different one, right? Because it's not about quality. It's about what the pill you need for your body, right?
Yeah.
Kevin, I need an old flat bastard. I need, like, a feather pillow that it's almost like if there wasn't a pillow there, but the sides come up really high so my head rests on it. But yeah, Megan hates it. It's an old school feather pillow that you have to flip around and poop and stuff.
Gotcha.
I've got one of those kicking around that I bought in Edinburgh, and I brought with me because I spent so much money on it. I'm like, well, this is valuable.
Right.
And I don't remember where I put it. It was made in Edinburgh from goose down from geese in Edinburgh. So I was like, this is neat.
Yeah.
I've never really had a lot of luck with goose down pillows. They've always, like, the feathers always poke me and stuff.
I had a second, thinner, cheaper pillow on top of it, and that absorbed all the pokey bits.
Nice.
That was the trick.
I think also my neck's just sore from shoveling pounds and pounds of snow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, fuck that noise.
Good Lord. We had to unbury our driveway and then out into the street because neither of our cars could actually clear the snow. So I had to basically unbury the street and got an email the other day from Thornton County that was like, hey, you can't shovel snow from your driveway into the street. So we had to put that shit in our yard.
Yeah, they don't like it when you put it in the street.
Yeah, and I was like, man, but I want to put it in the street, though, because that's where it already was.
And that's where the plow could get it, if a plow ever came through. Yeah, but then they have to have plows.
They don't do that in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood does not get plowed, and I feel like that is some bullshit.
Only the townhomes in our neighborhood don't get plowed. The regular neighborhoods do, which is, like, toity. So I'm there with you. Power.
Yep. Yeah, my neighborhood's never been plowed. There's, like, some crazy guy with a truck who just runs around and, like, flattens it with tire ruts, and that's what we use to get by.
Nice. That's awesome.
It's a truck. It's got a weird license plate. I don't know where he lives.
There's a dude in our neighborhood who has a small John Deere, and he will clear out the sidewalks on occasion if he likes you.
Did anybody have any, like trees fall down?
What's that?
Did anybody have any, like, tree branches fall down and break stuff around their house, or is that, do we get all get lucky?
No, I got lucky.
I have the solar panels on the south side of my house, right? And the way the wind was blowing from the north, even though the storm was coming from the south, it was, like, swirling somehow. And so it was forming a drift on the south side of my roof. I went out and checked it on Sunday. I did a quick perimeter check, mostly for my shed, because I love that shed, and I'd be sad if it collapsed. But it sloughed snow like a boss. Take that, amateur roofing people who said I couldn't do it. Eat it. But I went there, like, oh, there's a bunch of snow up there. And, like, I registered that mentally. And then sometime on Sunday or Monday, big sheets of it started sloughing off. And it sounded like my solar panels were falling off and were going to kill us.
Oh, God. And
Kate's in there like, I don't know what the problem is. And I'm like, I'm going to die. And so I had a good 3.5 foot, like, ridge outside my front door where the snow had just come off the roof. And the poor dog could not get over it to go pee.
Oh, no.
Had to cut a little path for him.
Nice. You didn't just put him in the bathtub and say, go for it?
Well, we got him to go to the back deck. He doesn't like... Han doesn't like peeing on the out the back because I don't know why. I had a bark device to stop Chewie from barking, and I think it convinced Han that there's a demon back there and he doesn't ever want to go back there anymore. I scarred the poor dog for life, apparently. But there is a good 1 to 2 feet of snow on the back deck, depending on where you measure for the drifts. And the dogs won't pee on the deck. But if there's enough snow, they're like, ah, fair game.
Yeah. And Kerrigan's so, the exact same way.
Oh, yeah. It's like snow means ground. I pee on ground. And so we put Han out there, and he just like walked a couple steps, looked at us, like, no, I want to pee in the front. Because he insists on peeing on the front on the front yard, and he'll only shit on the neighbor's yards. So he has this rule in his head. So when the snow was first coming down, he wanted to go for a walk, and I put my snowsuit on and my boots, and we went for a little walk, and he just shit in our other yard. So he's like, okay, this is good enough. This is like a neighbor. I'm done, because he didn't want to walk in the snow anymore. It's too windy and too high. But then a couple days later now, he's like, we can't. The snow melted and then hardened, and he couldn't get over the ridge anymore. So we put him on the back deck. Close the door, and he just turns around and looks at us like, no, I don't like this. I want to pee in the neighbor's yard, please. And Kate and I just left him. And he kind of sat there and looked dejected. And then after we left, he just like said, fuck it, went over and peed in the corner, and then came back. he's such a shit about it. He's like, no, I won't do it. And then you just leave him. He's like, fine. You're not my real dad.
So,
oh, God.
Go ahead, Kev.
All right, Joe, do you want to... I want to walk these guys through the adventure that we had last night. I wasn't playing, but I got to watch this Sea of Thieves thing. If you've never played, have you guys either heard of Sea of Thieves before we get
heard
into
it? Heard of it, haven't really seen it.
Okay, so I was in the same boat. I'd heard of it. I was like I thought it was like Blood in the Water, or like there's some other games that are like that, but it's very different. Kevin, have you heard of Sea of Thieves?
I have seen stuff about it, but I haven't like checked into it really.
Okay,
so first and foremost, I'll say as someone who's never played and only watched, this game is exactly like Guns of Icarus, except for it's got more to it. There's PvE elements. And it's a pirate game instead of a steampunk game.
So, Kendrick, do you remember a long time ago when I had talked about my concept for an expansion of Sea of Thieves, where basically you could do like, or not for Guns of Icarus, rather.
Yep.
Where we'd like, you basically incorporated that. It's that, but just on the ocean.
Wait, tell us all about that.
Other people come up with their ideas.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
So the idea
Describe your idea.
Yeah, so the idea I had was for Guns of Icarus, you're piloting, and I know we've talked about this before, but your pilot, it's four people on an airship, so your pilot has
full... Very steampunk.
Yeah, very steampunk theme. Full three-dimensional control of where you're going. And then you have people who are gunners and people who are engineers. The engineers fix the ship and like make sure the balloon's inflated and shit's not on fire. And then the gunners man all the weaponry to take down the opposing blimps and zeppelins and stuff. And we were super into it for a long time, and then just like none of us played it ever again.
We played it like every night for 2 weeks and then never touched it again.
Yeah. So I would love to go back to that, but then we just didn't. But then it's like, it the like idea that I had, yeah, it's like the idea that I had that it does not incorporate at all would be some manner of like being able to board an enemy ship and kill the crew. So like
with your hands.
Yeah. So like, and the idea that I had was another game that we're playing very obsessively called Chivalry, where you had it's they created very advanced controls for like mouse keyboard, and they did it to controller, but it's garbage. But like you actually control the angle of your swing for the weapons that you're using. And timing and blocking and feinting is all very important in the game, and it was very cool. I was like, I would love to mesh those two. Well, they didn't quite get the complexity of combat, but it doesn't need that because there's so much else going on. So Sea of Thieves is basically a perfect marriage of that idea, taking out the up and down dimension as far as the ship control, but it really wouldn't be that difficult to add that in. If I'm completely honest, I don't think
it would. Yeah, if you really wanted to,
you could. Frankly,
you can swim and you can climb masts and stuff, and there's a lot of elevation in the game. It's just not flying, right?
Yeah.
It's just not flying.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you're just pirates. And you, again, it's like max crew 4. You queue into the game, and you can have it to where it's open. So it'll be like, I want to join a ship that can carry 2 to 3 people, or 3 to 4, or 1 to 2. And if you do an open crew, it'll find other people that are playing and you'll just be part of their crew and you just go. Or you can do it completely by yourself if you want to. But for what we did, the entire point of the game is that you start on these little outposts and you talk to these different merchants and they'll give you a quest. And basically a quest, depending on like what the merchants, some of them are like, go find these skeletons and kill them and bring me back their skulls. And some of them are like,
that's like the PvE aspect. Like you can play this game. You will interact with people, but you could totally play this game without caring about any people. Like just playing with a bunch of your friends looking for treasure.
Yeah. So then
neat.
You can't shut off the PvP. So like other people will be there, but you can generally focus on, it's a big ocean. But, so, and then there's ones who are like, here's a bunch of treasure maps, go to these different islands. Some of them are like actual maps and there's an X marks the spot on it and you have to go to the island, find it, and dig it up. And then some of them are like riddles and you have to uncover each portion of the riddle by going to different places of the island.
That was so cool watching you do that because it's like 5 paces away from the dead man's chest and like you have to hold your compass out and you can hear yourself counting out paces as you walk away from this.
Yeah, it's like your step changes when you hold it, so it's like boop, 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 I'm here, and then you dig down, it's like cha-tonk, and then music plays. So that's basically what the game is, right? You're just going around getting treasure. None of the stuff that you buy enhance it, like improves or upgrades. It's all purely cosmetic, right?
So for example, they were riding on a ship last night that one of our coworkers' wives built that was all pirate or parrot themed. It was like a purple and green and brown ship that had all pirate themed parrot themed cannons and parrot themed sails and stuff. It was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's so awesome. Doesn't change the weaponry or the effect or the attack damage or anything. It's so everybody's on level ground, right? It's just your skill. And I've always liked games like that. So here's where
like
shit
Guns
got
of Icarus too, right? Like Guns of Icarus is a straight up skill. Like there's not a lot of extra things on top of what you do as a mechanic or a gunner.
Cause like all the weapons basically do the same amount of damage. They just do different damage to different things. So like, and there's that aspect with this too. So you can load Chain Shot, which damages like the wheel or the masts and stuff like that. And then you can throw like fire bombs that damage the crew and kill them. And death is really weird in the game. Like you can get revived after but it's a very, very short window. And if you die, you end up on Davy Jones' ship in the afterlife. You got to wait like 10 minutes and then a door opens and you walk back and it teleports you back to the cabin of your ship. Which is really interesting when you're in the middle of a fight and the ship is on fire.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is Yarhar Fiddly D, being a pirate, is all right to be. Do what you want, because a pirate is free. You are a parrot.
Yeah, you're a parrot.
You are a pirate.
So I was enamored by what I watched. One of our coworker play last night, and yep. just experiencing the adventure with them was one of the coolest games I'd watched someone stream in a long time. Like,
yeah.
First and foremost, they were like, yeah, they got, what did you guys do first? You got your emissary flag, right? And you tried to take down a Reaver ship. That was the first thing I watched you do.
Yeah. Which failed immediately. So
it was great to watch though.
Yeah. So basically you can put like a guaranteed PvP thing. You put an emissary flag and you, basically, if you take down other emissary ships, you get their flag, and that's like an extra huge bonus of gold. And then treasure chests that you get are payout even more with an emissary flag. So it's like higher risk, higher reward.
Higher risk, higher reward. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So how many hundreds of thousands of real world dollars did you destroy in the Armada? Or is this not like, what's it?
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that.
No,
at
it's
all.
Not like Eve. Not at all. No.
Yeah.
What game was that did
Eve.
That?
Sorry, Eve. I think. It's Eve.
Eve Online. Yeah. Thanks. Sorry. Yeah. I'm just trying to contribute things to the conversation.
No worries. Jeff. So here's where shit got crazy. So we got into this fight. And the funny thing is, when people die in the world, they all show up on the same boat. So the people that just killed you, or you just killed and then you die, you have to like interact with them for a few minutes in the afterlife where you're like, oh, hey, do a little emote. There's an in-game chat, but we weren't using it because we were using Discord, of course, right?
Match.
But, you know, nobody was really talking anyway. But so we got sank like immediately. When your ship sinks, it basically respawns at a different location and you talk to a mermaid and they teleport you there.
And anytime you're away from your ship far enough that you could never swim back, a mermaid, an absolutely terrifying looking mermaid comes up and is like, oh, I want to take you back to your ship.
Yeah, it's scary. So, and again, it's like, that's one of my biggest actual real life fears is like being on a boat that's going at like full speed and falling into the water and watching it sail away. And they just like rectify that.
Yeah, as I say, I have had that happen in a very controlled situation, and it is scary.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
That's an actual literal nightmare. So
yeah.
here's where
but there's
shit...
also sharks in the ocean, so be careful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the sharks.
Like, regular sharks.
Just regular like sharks.
Around. Yeah.
And emphasis on regular, because we'll come to that.
Spoilies.
So we get sunk. We respawn. We get our quest. Like, okay, we're going to go to this island, and we're going along, and we're sailing, and they give you musical instruments. Like, you don't have to buy any of your equipment or anything or level up. They just have everything you need, right? You got a shovel, you got a compass, got a bucket. You just got to gather some equipment to, like, repair your boat and load your cannons and eat food. Food is, health recovery, right? So we're sailing along. We're all having a merry time. And then the music in the game gets super ominous. And we're like, okay, what is coming up? And literally...
And they had just pillaged an island. Like, they went to an island, killed a ton of skeletons, found some treasure.
Yeah, we uncovered the carry. Yeah, we solved the riddle, and it, like, got a whole bunch of cool stuff. Out of the water next to us bursts this massive ship, very much like the Davy Jones immersion from Pirates of the Caribbean, the movie, when it just, like, bursts out of the water, and it's a skeleton ship.
Uh-oh.
And they just like attack us, and we're like, oh my god. So we start loading the cannons, and there's like a harpoon gun, and I use that to like secure them to us so that we could still like maintain fire. Josh jumped over onto their ship and started just like sword fighting them and then throwing fire bombs and then running into theirs. The thing is, the purpose of these is that these ships have massive holds of treasure.
Yeah.
So we're blowing them up. He's like pulling stuff off and fighting him and then like dying and respawning. And then we can kind of res him over there and we're just blowing it away. We sink the ship. I pulled this awesome maneuver. They were about to overtake us. I dropped the anchor while we were going full speed. It turned the ship perfectly to where we had all four of our cannons.
Crazy Ivan on a broadside.
Yeah, they did that all the time last night. It was like the coolest thing to watch ever because they'd be like trying to do it and then like they get ahead a little bit and then Josh or somebody would be like, drop the anchor, and they drop it, and then they just their ship would like fucking just, Tokyo drift in front of the other ship.
Just
it was
blow
so
the ship
epic.
Up. And then we when the ship sinks, if any player's ship sinks, all the treasure that's carried on floats like right there where the ship's sinking. So you gather all the treasure up, right?
You can harpoon it. There's harpoons.
Yeah, and so you like harpoon the treasure onto your ship. You can harpoon each other onto your ship.
You can harpoon each other with treasure. You can harpoon explosive barrels that blow up your ship.
Yeah,
that's you bring an explosive back right? to your ship.
So we're like, oh my god, we have this massive haul, and we've gotten, like, we used all of our cannonballs and all of our wood to repair all the damage. And we're like, let's start sailing. And we start going, and we do, like, another island. We find another thing, like, another couple of treasure pieces and stuff. And we're coming off, and we see a ship in the distance. And we're looking, and it's like, nope, that's a player ship. That's an actual crew of people. So we start, like, fleeing, and Josh... the entire time was utterly torn between, like, going from one side to the other of, we should stand and fight and kill them, to, we need to get the fuck out of here. And it was like,
I was going to ask, like, how in the hard middle of the that, PvP right? is, like...
It's right?
elongated.
It's pretty difficult. Because, again...
It's like our experience with Apex Legends this weekend, just getting decimated over and over again.
Not really.
Well, when so, I was watching and it, again... No. And again, so here's where, like, the difficulty kind of lies, because, like, the ships are very sturdy, and, like, if you're actively repairing it and bailing the water out of the ship, and you're, you know, you've got enough of the ammo and everything, you can last a really long time. And again, death is almost meaningless, because it's basically, like, it's like a 40-second timeout, and then you're back in the fight. So, like, it's basically, and if your ship sinks... and then you all die, your ship gets teleported to a new place, like one of the new outposts, like, and you guys all have to go back to it. Mm-hmm. So, and then they just loot your treasure, right? So, but again, like, we just came off of this massive fight. We're really low on resources. We're like, let's just get out of here. And these guys are bearing down on us. So we're circling the island where you're supposed to turn the treasure in. Because that's how you actually get money, is you take the treasure back to the island, give it to the merchants that gave you the quest, and then they pay you. Well, these guys are, like, chasing us. So we just had Amber and Alex were grabbing stuff, jumping off of the boat, running onto the island, while we're just, like, turning around, like, going in a circle with these guys in hot pursuit. And then after a little bit, we, like, turn and look back, and they're getting attacked by a skeleton ship.
Which was because they were like running away, and they'd finally gotten away, and the skeleton ship popped up, and like you just saw them start fighting the skeleton ship, and then everybody else, I think besides Joe on the ship's like, let's go fight them while they're fighting the skeleton
and everyone was like, ah, blessed relief, let's go turn in our ill-gotten gains, guys. And it's like, let's kill them all, like, oh my god. And then as soon as we engaged with the ship, Josh remembered that we had no fucking ammo. We're like, we can't fight them, guys. So we start running away, and the skeleton ship, I think they actually almost sank the other guys, but then they took off, and the skeleton ship's coming off from us. So we're like, oh fuck. So we're like, we're sailing along trying to escape this guy now, and then we like actually ran them into these massive rocks, and then like, we managed to get away from that, and we're sailing off. We're like, okay, find us an outpost on the map. We're gonna go turn our shit in. And then, as we're doing that, the music gets ominous again, and the Megalodon shows up.
The whole time. Like, they had been talking about how there's bigger things in the ocean. They've been talking about how there's not just pirate ships. And I was like, oh man, I really want to see one of these as someone watching on the stream. And sure enough, Universe fucking delivers.
Yep. Fucking Megalodon shows up. The biggest goddamn shark I've ever seen. It's like the galleon that we were sailing, the four-player boat, is like the biggest ship there. It's almost as big as it.
Oh, good.
It's, and it starts fucking biting holes in the side of their ship, like... running up against it and like biting these giant holes in it that they have to repair.
Yeah, and we're just like, and yeah, Josh is just like panic screaming. The rest of us are just bailing water out of the ship, repairing holes with what wood we have left. And then finally, that when you get close enough to an outpost or an island, the Megalodon will leave. So we finally get to our outpost. We turn all of our shit in, and like, we're just like, we're just going through the island, scavenging shit, like taking all the cannonballs and wood planks and stuff that and fruit that we can find. And as we're like replenishing everything, Josh like looks in one of the other barrels and is like, oh, there's like 60 cannonballs in here.
In on the ship?
Just, yeah. And we're like, womp womp. And he's like, well, should we keep going? It's like, yes. And it's like, and then we just like sailed around and fought like other skeleton, like a smaller skeleton ship, and went onto other islands. One of the best things that happens is that when you're going to an island, if the cannon is unloaded, you can load yourself into it and fire yourself out of the cannon. And it's actually
unwise,
right? It's like really one of the most effective ways to get to the island. Because you just park outside, right? Also, I'm still learning the ropes. I had a couple of really good driving sequences, like piloting sequences. I was really good at Guns of Icarus. I was a great pilot with that. Sea of Thieves is where it's all, you know, a little bit more two-dimensional. I have run aground almost every single time I tried to land near an island.
That, just as a quick aside, that reminds me of my buddy in college who used to have, he was driving a borrowed car. It was an old sedan of some kind. It was a huge behemoth. And he never could get that thing lined up right for the parking, like the concrete thing in front of the parking thing. He'd always hit the front end of it. And every time he'd always be like, ugh, well, we've run aground, everyone. Everybody out. Every time. Every fucking Bringer. Time. Shout out to Michael Green.
Yay!
That sounds like a riot,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Sounds like a blast.
Yeah, it was.
We're going to have to play that sometime.
We're gonna. I would heavily recommend it. I think it's like $40.
Yeah, it's that's a little bit expensive as far as like one of those games. It's not like The Forest or like Valheim that are like cheaper, but it looks
$3
like it
was worth and a smile.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're way over time, but I'm really happy that you got to share that story. I thought that was the most fun stream I've watched in a long time.
It was, oh my God, it was so much fun.
Yeah, and next time you guys are streaming, let me know.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
One of the cool things, like, it's really kind of a very, they include, try to do a lot of like inclusive abilities with the stuff. So like I said, they give you a bunch of this equipment, right? They give you a bunch of different musical instruments. There's a squeeze box, a hurdy-gurdy, a banjo, a drum. There was something else. I can't remember what it is, but basically,
I think it's only those four. I think.
Someone yes. Yeah, so when you get everybody together, if you hold your mouse button down, you start playing a song. And if you don't like the song, you just let go and you start playing a different song. But if you're playing a song and somebody else starts playing a song near you, you sync up.
Hmm.
So you all start playing the same song together. And there's an achievement that we actually got for all four of us playing different instruments and playing like a full song. And it's just like,
but you
that's
know, Mama's got a squeeze box. Daddy
never sleeps at night.
He never does.
Yeah.
We're pretty crazy over time.
We are. I'm so sorry. I just had to guess.
Because that was so much fun. I didn't want to interrupt it. But yeah. if we're at a natural stopping point, as best as one can with that, like it sounds like we're going to have to play this.
Go be pirates. We can do multiple crews, yeah. Too. Like there's ships, setups yeah. for that. So if we have more than like four people, we can actually make that work.
Neat.
So
yeah, we're gonna have to do that.
We're gonna do that. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go do that right now. And you guys all come back next time. This isn't my show. Kendrick, do your sign off.
I don't have to. like, comment, and subscribe. make a sugar sandwich. Eat the flood the. Whatever. Bye.
Storm the gates!
Damn the torpedoes! Shit. That's way too late. Bye.